For 80 years, Ed Morse has built a legacy, and now it's time to celebrate. During the 80th anniversary sale at Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, big selection means volume savings on over 800 of your favorite Chevys, Buicks, GMCs, and Cadillacs. Shop four iconic brands under three rooftops with over 22 acres of GM inventory. It's a celebration 80 years in the making at Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall. Visit EdMorseSawgrass.com, where you're always backed by Morse.
All right, the boys are back, out to pasture. Joe, you know, it's
I don't feel out to pasture with all the stuff going
I'm
on.
I'm going to tell you what. So, you know, there's something about the NFL that whoever's running the NFL, they really figured it out.
Oh.
They've put themselves.
They're the off-season kings.
They put themselves right in the middle of everything. And they play, you know, they play the middle. They can play both sides.
They just want you talking
about
them, Bo.
So there's a lull right now, right? There's a little lull right now, you know, over the last...
Let me finish.
Over the last week, where, you know, you had the free agent frenzy. You know, guys are getting picked up, you know. They're getting those deals done. And now, you know, you're getting the lower, you know, the fruits off the tree.
Yeah.
Most of the fruit's off the tree, but there's still some fruit hanging up there.
But you know the other part of this.
But now you got to find a way to gap between free agency and the big boy during the offseason, the draft.
Yeah.
And so So now you got some of people pull shit out of their ass and create controversy.
So you have mock drafts. Everybody's got one.
Everybody.
I think you and I are the only ones not doing a mock draft. Everybody does a mock draft.
And by the way, these mock drafts, if you look at those mock drafts, And even the real draft, only about 60% of the first round picks never make it. They're either okay, they're busts, there's only about 40% that really are that become what they should be as first round draft choices. So
you've got this thing with the mock drafts, and everybody's got their opinions, and then certain guys come up because of their arms. We got two guys in South Florida been a major story: Reuben Bain Jr.
Yep.
Who has an unbelievable kick-ass year, especially in the playoffs, plays his ass off for four games, and now all of a sudden the short arms has become an issue. Yeah. He might drop in the draft. That's our number one guy in South Florida from Northwestern. The other story is Mendoza, who just kills it, does everything. Yeah. Heisman, undefeated, perfect season, everything. Yeah. They did great. And now we have Ty Simpson, the second quarterback, and now we've got people coming up saying, well, Mendoza's not the best quarterback. Simpson's the best quarterback. No. And by the way, these guys don't know for sure what the...
Who, you mean Dan Orlovsky?
What the teams. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know, but he says he's getting information from the league, and he's watched the tapes on things. He didn't say, I watched his breakdown. He had Simpson and Mendoza either even or Simpson better than everything for the guy that I still think Mendoza's going to be the first overall pick. But by the way, the league loves this man. They got everybody talking about him. Either side of the fence you're on, it doesn't matter. You're getting this thing all promoted. Not that the first round of the draft needs to be promoted.
No.
Well, it's big ratings on a Thursday night.
Well, now you've got a guy that Ty Simpson, Alabama. You know, they didn't have their best year. I think Alabama's kind of on that downward slope now.
I don't know. There are a lot of teams like that off year. The amount of games they won.
Yeah, but
they got in the playoffs.
But that's not Alabama. They want to be.
It didn't look Nick Saban dominant.
No, I agree. No.
Yeah.
And so it seems like two or three weeks ago, Ty Simpson, the quarterback. Maybe second round. Some people had a second round.
Maybe first.
You know, maybe high second. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know. I think he's a lot better than Mendoza. I don't think Mendoza's now, you know, I don't think Mendoza is going to move an inch. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I think he's really good.
But there, you know, people like to pick nits, and there's a lot of fucking nitpickers out there.
And this goes on every year.
Trying to manufacture that Ty Simpson, all of a sudden, between the last game that they lost – and the last game that Mendoza won, Ty Simpson's kind of got up to him a little bit.
Yeah.
When he had, they haven't played a fucking game. Another game, right?
There's a couple parts of this that's kind of funny. First of all, you can't hold it against Mendoza. They had the best team in the country.
No.
And that, you know, he didn't have to do as much.
Yeah.
And second of all, Alabama, it wasn't a Nick Saban dominant team, but it was pretty friggin' good overall team. Yeah. They had a lot of good players. Yeah. So anyway, they're going back and forth. And by the way, Orlovsky does a good job of breaking it all down and things that he likes and doesn't like. Yeah. And then the second part.
Sometimes he steps out of the end zone, but that's all right.
Well, you got that shot in on him. Yeah. The second part of this, first pro day.
Yeah.
When was the last time a quarterback on pro day throwing to his receivers he's thrown to all year and nobody covering them? When's the last time a guy had a really bad day throwing the football to the guys you've been throwing to all season? Yeah. Mendoza's coming up in a couple of days. I expect he got NFL receivers too. Yeah. I expect it's going to be a special day for him.
Yeah. So let's look at Mendoza. They're trying to, you know, figure out, oh, you know, he's not this, he's not that. Went to Cal. Played really good at Cal.
Oh, no, he worked his way out of Cal into a bigger school.
He made himself available and a hot property for Indiana, right?
Yes, he did.
Goes into Indiana. So Indiana goes to Indiana. And they've got a lot of two-star, three-stars. I don't think they had any five-stars on that team when Mendoza stepped in and started being their quarterback. Now you go to Alabama, a plethora of five-stars.
Yeah.
If you're a four-star in Alabama,
you're
probably on special teams, right? And now you got a quarterback that didn't have a sensational season, good season, and he's playing behind a bunch of five-stars. And how'd they do when they played Indiana?
38-3 they lost.
Yeah, okay. So look, there, I've heard some of the talk about Mendoza. Well, he doesn't run really well. He's an awkward runner.
He can run, though.
I agree that he's an awkward runner. But he's an effective runner.
Hey,
every time he ran, and when you went through that whole playoff system, all those playoff games, and every time he ran, it looked out, you know, you shouldn't do that, but he's gaining a first down. He's scoring that touchdown.
How about his third and fourth down passes on the outside?
Exactly.
How about the quarterback draw to win it all? Exactly. That's a put it on the schedule, Indiana schedule for the following year, man, out in front scoring.
And that looked awkward as shit, too, but it was effective.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between effective and looking so I just don't look. I understand it. I think it's interesting, but I think when the wash when the wash is all done, it's going to be Mendoza, and I'm not sure that. I think that Ty Simpson may end up at best 10 or below, somewhere around there. And whoever gets him, they may be going, well, I hope he's the guy.
Yeah. Well, he's only started 15 or 16 games, but. But, Bo, the other part of this is a lot of this stuff is being drawn up by agents and teams and everybody working behind the scenes. And I don't know how many general managers everybody's talking to. And honestly, the GMs that are talking and want stuff to get out there when they call people like at ESPN and call them back, I don't know how accurate they really want to be in giving out
information. Well, I know what they want to be. They've got an agenda of their own.
Yes.
You can call, you can have these guys call these – you know, all the TV guys, all the talking heads, all the agents, this and that.
Yeah.
And they're going to get these general managers are not going to give them what they want. They may give them a nibble.
Yeah.
But they're going to get what they want out of that phone call.
Totally agree. So anyway.
So nobody's, you know, liar, liar, pants on fire. There's a lot of pants on fire around this at this point.
There's
going to
be
in the NFL,
a lot of stuff going on, and nobody knows what every team is thinking and what their board looks like and everything else.
And that includes our guys right here.
Yeah.
You know, Sullivan, you know.
John Eric Sullivan ain't showing his hand to anybody.
You can
mock draft your ass off. John Eric Sullivan is not giving you anything.
But I think you can see the pattern of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's pretty simple. If you look at it, they've got 40-some-odd guys on minimum contracts, and most of them, I think, are one-year deals. So to me, this is, you know, I know fans aren't going to like this. I think this is, you know, I've just moved into a new house, right? I don't like the bathrooms. The closets are a little small. You know what?
You're talking about my wife, or what are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about the Dolphins football team.
Okay, sorry.
And so... And look, they got nothing to beef about that facility, by the way.
No.
I mean, but from a football standpoint, let's strip it down to its foundation. Let's strip it down to the guys that we really covet.
Great.
Right?
Agreed.
And let's build around those guys, and let's get all the dead wood out, and let's bring in guys and get draft capital and get ready to start putting the foundation back up again next year. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I see this football team this year. If they win 7 games, I'd be pretty happy with that.
7 games, that'd be a great season
doing. Not happy with it, but I mean, look, but what I want to see, Joe, I want to see a football team that's tough, that's disciplined, that knows what they're doing, that has a plan, instead of some cockeyed, half-assed, this is the offensive genius that throws the ball, 60% of the time behind the line of scrimmage. I just want to see this team become what a good team should be.
Like, I want to see young guys becoming really good players. I'm from them. They talk about draft and develop. That's exactly what we got to find some young stars. And we need to get them. This is a big draft for it. I totally agree. And, Bo, the other part is next year, all of a sudden, that dead salary cap cemetery money is gone. And we're going to be getting a lot of money back for if you do sign some guys that you really like, they can start adding that way. But I like what he's doing. I hope everybody get behind John Eric Sullivan. He has cleaned house in the front. It's all new guys. This is not the same old guys doing it the same old Dolphin way that we've done in the past. They have cleaned house over there. A lot of names you don't even realize are gone behind the scenes, and give these guys a fresh start.
Yeah, and so that leads into the question that's now spinning around, Devon Achane.
Yeah,
Devon Achane, watched him since he's got here. Good kid that wants to play. He wants to be in the game. He's one of those guys. He gets nicked or dinged up. No, I want to be back in the game. I want to play. I'd like to be here in Miami. I'm not sure that I can get in his head and say if he wants to be here or not. But, it doesn't matter what's in his head. What matters is what's in the agent's head and trying to drive this. And so the question, do you keep Achane even though you're stripping it down to almost the bare minimum? And does he want to be there for that? And I think your agent's going to try to sell, no, he doesn't want to be there for that, and try to get a deal going. Or get or do you give him the big contract and have him come in here and be frustrated playing on a team that is maybe 2 years away from being in the hunt?
Yeah, this could be his numbers could drop off. The 1,800 plus total yards he had last year. He's a great receiver. I have nothing bad. I mean, he's one of the best players. He's the best player on the team last year. He can catch it better. He led the team in receptions. He's 1,300 plus yards running the football, 5.7 average. Everybody getting on, we can't run the ball. 5.7 average was pretty damn good. And, oh, by the way, he's got the best breakaway speed of any running back in the game. You can look up Texas A&M track times. That dude can run 10.1 in 100 meters, 10.2 in 100 meters. He can fly. So I love to have him. He's been a great teammate. He's good. The question is, it's time to pay.
Yeah.
And he's going to want to be one of the highest paid guys. Now, saying that, I know Malik Willis going, man, that guy next to me, he could be my savior. He can dump the ball to him. He can get me 20 yards on a play that looks broken.
And therein lies the situation. Okay, running backs in the NFL, their first 5 years, they got to make their money then because at five,
it starts
to break down.
Yeah.
So now, in a situation like this, if you're creating the offense, if you're doing these things, do you say, let's run Achane a lot? Or do you say, hey, you know what? We can put him out there in the slot. He can be a receiver. Maybe take some of the running load off of him and get him more involved in the passing game that would help Malik Willis in what he's doing and kind of keep a little more tread on that tire until maybe a year or two when you can put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah. No, I get it. Listen, that could easily be. So the great part of this thing we're talking about, the guy is 24 years old. 24. Some of the guys behind him coming in the league are 22, 23. And so I think he's got tread left on the tires and can do a lot of good things. But I agree. Yeah. If quietly he's saying he doesn't want to be here.
That's a dilemma, man.
If John Eric Solomon gets the offer, he ain't going to fight him. If the guy didn't want to be here, because the last thing I want is a guy that comes to practice so he doesn't get fined and stands and watches practice. What do they call it? The sit out or sit in or sit around and situation. Yeah. And then then it's a story every day.
I'm here, but I can't practice because I got a back injury that no one can diagnose.
Or you just know it's my contract, and that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And then that becomes a story every day, and that's not what Coach Hafley wants for his first time as a head coach to start every day talking about Achan and Jim and talking about his contract. Is it going to happen? We've been through that. Yeah. I don't think it's good. And so, hey, man, it's going to be interesting to watch. I'd love to keep him. I think I speak on behalf of everybody. Yeah. We'd love to keep him. And part of this, and I hope we find out that he really wants to be here with this, but if not, I don't think the Green Bay way is going to be going his way.
Well, you know what? So we look, I think we're in a situation here, and I think we all know it. There's got to be an organizational shift within the locker room. You know, the business side's a business side. In the locker room, this organization has to become something that's fluid, that's tested, that works. You know, kind of like Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. You know,
well, that thing works.
You know, that thing works. That's
great chemistry.
Those guys, that thing runs like a machine. You go in there, cars. You got Chevrolet. You got GMC. You got Cadillac. You got Buick. Salesmen of plenty. And I tell you what, the deals, Joe, deals at Sawgrass Auto Mall. Boy, I tell you what, Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, you're going to get a deal. You're going to get a hell of a deal out there. Chris Atkins and Teddy Morse.
The service department. Yeah. I can't say enough. You guys, thank you for everything you do. Whether I bring my kids Buick in or the Chevrolets in there, it's fantastic. You're gonna have a great experience.
You know, and look, unfortunately, I've had the opportunity now to have to deal with the body shop. A little bit of
a little
dinger the other day that I'm doing, and I tell you what, it's been seamless. And say, look, we'll take care of your insurance. We'll take care of everything. You just sit back and relax, and we'll get it done for you.
Yeah, that's great.
And so it's I appreciate all you guys for doing that for us. And hey, Joe, so the other thing is, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on around Miami now. You've been down the tennis tournament for a couple of weeks.
I wore that thing out, man. I wore it out. Yeah,
I don't know if everyone knows. I'm sure people know that they listen to Out the Pasture all the time. No, you're a tennis guy, right?
Yeah, I like tennis.
Yeah, you're kind of dragging me into that tennis. So
I am trying, man.
Me in there.
Well, listen, the way we get treated out there is pretty special. Yeah. But just run around and watch it. It's a great game. Whether you're a doubles player or singles, how good they are, and the best players in the world at the Miami Open. But it's been a good event. Yeah. It's been South Florida got a lot of great events, and that one is special.
We went last Saturday, and I got to see Alcaraz.
Yeah, lose.
I think it was Saturday. Was it Saturday or Sunday?
I'm not sure now.
Whatever day it was, we went, and he lost, but it was a hell of a match.
Yeah.
Right, it was a hell of a match.
No, they got some great ones, man. Yeah. Coco Gauff and Sabalenka in the finals for the women. Top American going against the number one player in the world. No, that's great stuff. Great stuff across the board.
And you know, it's baseball season. You know, baseball season's coming up. Watched our Giants get hammered on day one from the Yankees.
Giants didn't look good in that first. Three hits is not going to get you a lot of games.
Mr. Rose, you're in for a long season.
Ooh, boy, that's
your dad. Your dad's going to watch a lot of those Giants games.
Yeah.
I think he's in for a long season.
That thing put him to sleep the other day. 92 will put you to sleep right there, man, for sure. But
so what else is going on, man? What else we got to get?
Well, let's get into the other thing. And I'm not trying to just to wrap up this Tua thing because.
We're back to Tua. No, Tua's always in the market.
I got criticized pretty good, and that's fine. I called him a bum. And I only called him a bum for
a bum? A B-U-M bum?
Yeah.
That kind of bum. Okay.
So my thing was his press conference for the Atlanta Falcons, where he may start. He looks like he's got a good opportunity to start.
Well, he is. Penick's not. I don't think Penick's going to be ready. So who else are they going to roll out there?
But while you're doing stuff and you go, hey, ask about the Dolphins, somehow comes up, and he says player to player. Yeah. Things were good. Player to coach, not so good. And he didn't want to get into it, but it was definitely directed towards Mike McDaniel.
Why doesn't he take ownership of himself?
He did. He did. He did some of that, though. He did say some of that. But getting on the mic, listen, man, my only point was it got me is in the way that look on your face and like, you know, I mean, Mike McDaniel's an easy target, right? Yeah. Your head coach didn't get it, too soft, whatever it was, too easy on the guys, whatever you didn't like. But listen, Tua, nobody has fucking been better to you than Mike McDaniel and had a bigger influence on getting that contract for you that is going to be over $200 million in guaranteed money. Again, I'm not a hater for your money. Hey, they gave it to you. Yeah. God bless you. But to take a jab at your head coach, nobody has loved you and pampered you and to get your confidence back, which you have openly said he helped you get your confidence back as a quarterback when he took over. I'm not sure I get that. And I know you got benched the last three games and we all have egos and nobody wants to sit on the side.
So, I agree with you. I think Mike did everything that possible to make him his best, could be his best self.
I didn't want to bench him.
Yeah. But this goes all the way. Look, so the relationship with quarterback and
coach
with Mike had trouble with Brian Flores, couldn't play under Brian Flores, so he had to bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick to calm the waters in that one. And then
he's a better quarterback at that point.
No doubt. Then Mike comes in, and Mike, look, he said, "Hey, he's my teammate. You know, he's my teammate. I'm gonna take care of him, the whole thing." And so Mike did it. Mike bent over backwards.
He did
to make him the best quarterback he could be.
That was my only point. Like.
And so the head coach in Atlanta, is he gonna? What's he gonna turn him into? At some point, you know, you got to take the diapers off when you get into the NFL and make your own path, not count on your head coach or your position coach to make you who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there could be. I'm sure there's a lot of other stuff that we don't know behind the scenes and stuff that happened. I know after they had their meeting and he found out he was going to get benched for the last few games, he obviously wasn't happy. But I'll tell you what, man, Mike bent over backwards and honestly, I don't know how many ever. There's not a Dolphin fan or a Tua fan out there can tell me he played well the second half of the season.
No.
Even during the four-game winning streak, he was bad. And then the Monday Night Football game, it just all blew up.
Sure, and the interesting thing is going to be is he goes through the through training camp and the Falcons and the game start playing. They need to give him some. They need to give him some lessons when you step up to that mic. What to say?
Not one of his strengths.
Maybe the most disastrous quarterback I've seen when you step to the mic and just put your foot in your mouth. It seemed like every single time it was put your foot in your mouth time.
He was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the head of communications.
Which was good for business.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't,
good
but
for
just
our business,
like,
but, yeah.
Did he say that? Did he say that? Did he just say it? For, I'll tell you, one person got to be happy. Ann Nolan.
Oh.
Like, what? What'd you say?
Well, look, I tell you. I tell you, even for Ann, Mike threw a couple of things out there during the season.
Yeah, no.
That were tough to tell. You know, I can't believe you said that. I'm not putting words in her mouth, but I can't believe he said that. Now I got to dig out of this one, right?
Yeah. But anyway, hey, man, he's going to start most likely for Atlanta, and we're going to pay most of it.
Yeah,
Get him.
Hey, might as well watch him and get your money's worth because it's coming out of the fans' pockets, out of the ticket holders' pockets. Everyone's got a piece of Tua down here down in South Florida.
No question. He's got some weapons to work with. He's got another. He had Devon Achane. He's got another great back that goes over 2,000 total yards. We'll see how it all plays out for him if he gets it going again.
You know what I'm happy about? I'm happy about Villa Italia Bakery.
Oh,
I'm gonna tell you what. What a home run! Not a home run, a touchdown. A 90-yard run when we hooked up with Bobby Malozzi at the Villa Italia Bakery.
Have you been all my life?
Hey, he sent me a chocolate. A coffee cake. Said, we just brought this out. It's new, and you're one of the first ones to have it. Had some chocolate inside, like fudge inside, and oh my god! And then the cookies and all the pastries. And look, VillaItaliaBakery.com.
So
they send it all over the country, and it gets there fast, Joe, and it gets there fresh. Right?
That's what got me when I opened it up.
I don't know how he does it.
It was so fresh. The coconut.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so fresh and so good. That coffee cake they make. Matter of fact, we were just talking about it for the holiday coming up here, and I said, man, I got to get a coffee cake, another one.
Yeah.
They are fantastic. You can't say enough about the coffee last night.
Bobby's been down there. I had lunch with him a couple weeks ago. Yeah. He came out to Jason Taylor's cigar night and poker tournament. So he's and look, he knows everybody. We had at our legacy luncheon at Catch and Cut. Larry Little came in as a guest, and I talked. I said, "Hey, you know Bobby?" He goes, "Bobby, he helped me write my book."
That's funny.
So you can't. I don't think you can mention a player.
It's so funny.
On the Dolphins team that in the past, and I don't know, maybe currently, that Bobby hasn't had some association.
Yeah, man, he knows Dolphins history going back to Shoes 50 and the
years.
Nuns.
50
when
years.
You know the Nuns and Coach Shula, knowing how important the Nuns were to Coach Shula.
I wonder if those Nuns ever took a ruler out and whacked him on the hand for...
I don't think you do, Bob. Bobby's too good, man.
Too
I don't think
guy.
You do that. Yeah. But, man, Bobby, keep it going, man. Your stuff is fantastic.
And look, if you want to get some, it's VillaItaliaBakery.com and put in the code Bojo, and it'll give you 20% off of your entire order.
I'm
going to
use that 20% for
my own
order.
You send it out for gifts and everything.
Yeah.
You know, best
guy.
They're
fresh. It's incredible how good.
Fresh.
And I'm thinking for a full week.
No
doubt. It was fantastic. It didn't last a week. I lied. But, man, it was good.
All right, Joe. Well, I think that's going to do it for today.
I think you covered about everything.
I know you got places to go. I got places to go. I'm going to play some golf. I'm almost out there, Joe. Now, let me give you a – Joe's son just joined a club that I belong to. And he's begging me to get his dad to come out and play golf, and I can't get Joe to come out there and pull a stick out of the bag. Not going to happen.
That sport is the most frustrating sport. I love to watch it. I love Sundays on the back nine, but
this is my last hurrah. This is my. I mean, I've committed. I'm going to try to do it. But and I'm starting to get a little better. But if I don't get better quick, it may be my last hurrah, and I may be all done.
The tennis ball is a lot easier to hit. Now I go, you got to do things to make it work and stuff. But I'm going to go work on that.
But you know, the good thing about golf is when you're not hitting the ball well, you sit in that golf cart and smoke a big fat stogie.
That's true.
And sit under a tree and just kind of hang out.
Right. Instead of throw your racket into the net.
Yeah.
And curse.
I've done that a few times. Every now and then I've done that, but fuck it. Hey, that's going to do it for today. We'll see you guys next time.